with all kinds of prayers, asking for everything you need. Now, to do this, you must always be ready and never give up and always pray for all of God's people. Now, in that one verse, he gives us seven instructions. Let me just point them out real quick. First, he says, I want you to pray in the Spirit. He starts by saying, pray in the Spirit. What does that mean? It just means let God lead you. Listen to impressions. If all of a sudden somebody puts in your mind, their image of them is put in your mind, pray for them. You get an idea? Pray about it. You think about something? Pray about it. When the Holy Spirit puts an idea in your mind, stop and pray about it. Don't say, I'll pray about it later. Do it right then. Follow the Spirit's leading. It's always good to listen to what God is saying to you. So he says, pray in the Spirit, and then he says, at all times. There is no bad time to pray. There's never an inappropriate time to pray. Every time, anywhere, you can pray. All the time. And then he says, because it's always a good idea to pray, and he says, pray with all kinds of prayer. Did you know that there are different kinds of prayer? And if you want a good example of it, look at the book of Psalms. In the book of Psalms, there is a prayer for every emotion known to man. There are complaining prayers, there are crying out prayers, there are comforting prayers, there are clarifying prayers. There are courageous prayers. There are confessing prayers. There are celebrating prayers when you're happy. The book of Psalms, 150 chapters, it's right in the middle of your Bible. If you open up in the middle, there's where it is. It's the book of prayers and songs. And there is a prayer for every emotion known to man. And for thousands of years, people have prayed the Psalms. If you want to learn how to pray, just read the Psalms. Say, Lord, make this my prayer. And let it be your prayer. But there's a prayer for all times, and there are prayers for all emotions, and there are prayers for all kinds of situations. So he says, pray in the Spirit, pray at all times, pray all kinds of prayers, asking for everything you need. He says you can pray about everything. Nothing is off limits. You can pray about physical issues, mental issues. You can pray about financial issues, sexual issues. You can pray about relational issues, career issues, political issues. There is nothing off limits. He says, pray all the time, pray in all the different ways, pray wherever you are, pray whatever you're interested in, pray about everything. And then he says, number five, he says, always be ready. He says, if you're gonna pray all the time, to do this, you have to always be ready. And then he says, to do this, you must always be ready and never give up, which means never stop praying. And finally, he says, and always pray for all of God's people, which means we're supposed to pray for everybody. Now, I can't do that if I only pray 2 minutes a day. I gotta pray throughout the day. How do I do this? That's what I want us to look at this weekend. How do I pray throughout my day? Well, there's two different ways. I want you to write these down. Two different ways that you can pray throughout your day. The first is just to keep a running conversation with God. And you just talk to God like I'm talking to you, like you talk to anybody else. You just keep a running conversation with God. You don't end the prayer. You don't say in Jesus' name, amen. You just talk. And if something comes up, you talk to God about it. And then maybe a minute or two goes by and then you talk about something else. And it's kind of like breathing. You don't think about breathing. You just do it. And if you did not breathe, you'd die. Prayer is spiritual breathing. Prayer is to your soul what breathing is to your body. And it needs to become as natural so that you don't even think about it. Right now, you probably have to think to pray. But you can actually develop a habit, like I have done and many, many people have done, where I don't even think about it when I'm praying. I just, instead of talking to myself, I talk to God all the time. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:6-18, pray on every occasion as the Spirit leads. On every occasion means, as I said, you can talk to God anywhere, anytime, about anything, all the time. As the Spirit leads, when you get an impression, you pray about it. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, never stop praying. In other words, pray all the time. Well, one of the ways to keep a running conversation, the other way, write this down, is to schedule prayer times throughout my day. And I'm gonna teach you a very, very simple way to do this weekend. It's something I created based on the 7 phrases of the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is not simply a prayer to be prayed. It is a model for life. In fact, when Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer, he said, you should pray like this. He says, this is a model. This is the pattern. This is how you should pray, not what you should pray. And so I want us to take a typical day in your life, and I want to show you how, starting in the morning when you get up, and then breakfast, and then midday, and then at noon, and in the afternoon, and then in the evening, and before you go to bed, you could use the 7 phrases of the Lord's Prayer just to remember, oh, I should talk to God right now. Whether it's 30 seconds or a minute or 5 minutes or however much time you put into it. It's a simple pattern that you can use. All right, let's get right into it. Number one, we're gonna start your day with the first phrase of the Lord's Prayer. And the first thing you do when you wake up, here's what you do, write it down. First thing when you wake up, get up with gratitude. Get up with gratitude. When you get out of bed in the morning, before you eat breakfast or anything else, you should get up starting to be grateful to God and telling God all the things you're grateful for. Now, you've got a choice on what attitude you're gonna have when you get up. One guy said, you wake up grumpy in the morning? He said, no, I usually let her sleep. You can get up with grumbling, or you can get up with gratitude. It's your choice. Why not start every morning with gratitude to God? And you thank God for all the things that he has done for you. Doctors and actually psychologists have proven that the attitude that you have for the day is set in the first 8 minutes. So you wanna grumble, grouse, groan, grunt, or do you wanna be grateful? So you start your day with gratitude to God for the goodness of God. And one of the ways is just to use this little, you know, tool to make a list of stuff you're grateful for. Another way is just to make a playlist of songs of gratitude. Thank you songs to God. You can go on Spotify or iTunes or something and make a list of songs that say thank you to God, and you can play those. And so you get up with gratitude and you wake up with worship. That'll set your attitude for the whole day. Very, very simple. You start with that. Now, why do we do this? Look up here on the screen. The Bible says this. What do you have that God didn't give you? Everything you have is a gift from God. And if it was given to you, how can you brag about it? And so you start your day focusing on the goodness of God. And that's the first phrase of the Lord's Prayer. Look at this, Matthew 6:8-9. Jesus said, you know, your father knows what you need before you ask him. You know that when you pray. Your father knows what you need before you ask him. So then, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. He says, start with thinking about God and his goodness. He's a good, good father. Yes, you are, yes, you are. He's a good, good father. He's caring, he's close, he's consistent, he's competent. God, you're a good, good father. And let me give you a list of the ways that you're good to me. And so you start your day, not with confession, not with your request, you start it with gratitude. God, you're a good, good father. Let me just tell you all the things I'm grateful for. He says, you start with our Father. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father, your Father of light in heaven. So the first thing out of bed, here's what I do, fill this in. I thank my Father in heaven for his consistent love. I recall all of the ways that he's good to me. I thank my Father in heaven for his consistent love, and I recall all of the ways that he's good to me. That's you start your day. If we're gonna have seven little snippets through the day, the very first thing you do, you get up with gratitude. And let me give you one more, and then we're gonna sing about it. First, I get up with gratitude. The second thing I do is I bless God's name at breakfast. What does it mean to bless? It means to honor. It means to give respect. It means to praise. The word, theological word, is adoration. We adore God, we bless him, we praise him. And that's the second phrase of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, you're a good God. Thank you for all you've done. You're a good Father. And he says, number two, hallowed be your name. That means holy. I'm gonna respect your name. I'm gonna honor your name. I'm gonna praise your name. I'm gonna adore your name. That's the second thing you do, and you do it at breakfast. I bless God's name at breakfast. Psalm 145, verse 2. Every day I will bless your name. Circle the everyday part. Not just every Sunday, not every weekend. Every day I will bless your name and praise it forever and ever. Now, what is the big deal about God's name? If you read through the book of Psalms, it's mentioned about 80 times. Bless the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Give thanks to the name of the Lord. Exalt the name of the Lord. What's the big deal about God's name? Well, your name really is your character. Your name is really who you are. If you go and you get a loan, it's based on your good name. If you have a bad name, nobody's gonna loan you any money. You have bad credit, you got a bad name. You got a bad reputation. And so what God says is, when I make a promise to you, and there are over 7,000 of them in the Bible, it's based on my name. I'm consistent. I'm gonna be depended on. And I have integrity. And in Psalms, God's name is praised over and over and over because your name is your character. Now, one of the things that happened in the Bible is that your name was more than just something cute that sounded nice. Today, we pick names because we like the way they sound. Maybe all the kids have the same letter or something like that. But in the Bible, the name was given because they thought that's what your character is. In the Bible, did you know that God has about 100 names in Hebrew and Greek? Why didn't anybody need 100 names? Because each name, it's actually like a title, represents a character quality of God. For instance, God says, I am Abba. We talked about that last week. It means I'm your loving father. I'm your daddy. I'm your papa. So God says, my name is Abba. You can call me Abba. It's not a Swedish rock group, okay? But God also says, I am Eldia, which means I'm the God who knows you and I know everything. That's a good thing. God, I don't have to know everything. If you know everything and you know me and you know what's best for me, I'm Eldia. I'm the God who knows you and knows everything. The Bible says, God says, my name is Jehovah Rapha, which means I'm the God who heals you. That's a good one. Because we all need healing, mental, emotional, spiritual, financial, physical. I'm the God who heals you. El Shaddai means I'm the mighty God, almighty God, which means I got all the power you need. You don't have to have all the power because I do, and I'm helping you, I'm supporting you. All through scriptures, there's Jehovah Jireh, which says, I am your provider. There's Jehovah Shalom, I am your peace. There's Jehovah Tsidkenu, I am your righteousness. You don't have to earn your way to heaven. I'll be your righteousness. If you'd like a list of all the names of God, just write pastorrick@saddleback.com and I'll send them to you. Just send me an email and I'll send you the list of all the names of God. Why? Because the Bible says that you are to bless and honor the names of God. Now here's the point. Listen real closely. All prayer is based on how much you know God. So when we talk about knowing the names of God, it just means, do you know what God's really like? Do you know what he means when he says, I am this and I am that and I'm Alpha and Omega? What in the world does that mean to your life? Look at this verse, Psalm 9, verse 10. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never abandoned those who truly seek you. So I review the names of God, and then I think about the promises they imply. If God says, I'm Jehovah Jireh, I'm your provider, means, do I have to worry about where the next meal's coming from if he's my provider? Do I have to worry about where the forgiveness is coming from if he says, I'm your forgiver? The more you know the names of God, the more you're gonna know what God is like, and the more you're gonna relax. And so it's just a good time. Start when you get up with gratitude. And when you go to breakfast, you bless God's name at breakfast. And you just remind yourself who God is. This is called Thanksgiving and praise. And that's how you start your day. Now you got up with gratitude, and you went to breakfast blessing God's name. And this isn't long, it's just, you're just thinking about God. Now, then you get to work. And about mid-morning, you can take a brief prayer break. Nobody's gonna ring a bell at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, but you could still take a little prayer break. Doesn't have to be long. You just sit down at your desk or go out to your truck or go in a restroom or go sit in your car, take a minute, take 5 minutes. And then at mid-morning, write this down, remember what matters most. If you will do this every day, if you'll begin a habit of sometime in the middle of the morning, you just pause, take a deep breath, not gonna take a long time, and say, okay, let me stop right here. What matters most? Okay, let me get the big picture because I've gotten down in the weeds and I've lost kind of my direction, and I need to pause and pray. And that's when we come to the third phrase, which is this, Matthew 6:10. May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, friends, that's called a redundant statement, because when Jesus says, let your kingdom come, let your will be done, it's saying the same thing. Where God's kingdom comes, God's will is done. Where God's will is done, God's kingdom has come. And so at mid-morning, I remember what matters most. This is the principle of dedication. And write this down, I align myself with God's purpose and plans for my life. I align myself with God's purpose and plans for my life. What does that mean? It means I just pause. Maybe I walk behind the door in my office. I don't even close the door. And I just go, God, I want to remind myself there's something a whole lot bigger than just what I've got on my table to take care of today. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. God, you got a big plan. You got a plan for the world, but you also have a plan for me. God has a universal purpose for the whole world. History is moving toward a climax. History is his story. We're not a circular. This is not the circle of life like Lion King says. Life is not circular, it is linear. There was a beginning and there's gonna be an ending, and then Jesus Christ is gonna come back one day. And God has a plan for the whole world, but more important than that, he's got a plan and a purpose for your individual life too. And so at mid-morning, you just pause, go, let me just take a deep breath here and go, okay, I know I got all this stuff to do, but really what I want more than anything else, God, I want your plan in my life. I want your purpose for me. And I'm praying for your will be done in the world and in our nation. I'm praying for your kingdom come and your will to be done. And I align myself, I recommit myself to God's purpose in my life. Now, why would you do that? Well, one of the reasons, listen, is that God promises when you do that, he'll help you get your work done. God says, if you line up with my plan and purpose, I will help you get your work done. One of the great promises in the Bible, the next verse, Matthew 6:33. If you seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, that's his plan, his, his purpose, his agenda. You see, God's kingdom and his agenda, all the other things will be given to you as well. So, I don't have enough time? Put God's agenda first. I don't have enough money? Put God's agenda first. I don't have enough energy? Put God's agenda first. I don't know which way to turn at work. I got a major decision to make. Put God's agenda first. I don't know how I'm gonna finish this assignment at school. Put God's agenda first. And if in the midday, that sixth hour, say the 9 or 10 o'clock, you just go, I just wanna remind myself, God, I'm more interested in what you want me to do than I am what I wanna do. Now we come to lunch. What do I do at lunch? All right, number four, list my needs at lunch. I list my needs at lunch. And at lunchtime's a good time for you to talk to God about all the things you need. You started the day with gratitude, and then you blessed his name at breakfast, and now you've committed yourself again to his plan and purpose for your life. Now you come to lunch, God said, what do you need? Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, everything else will be given to you. What do you need? Now, it's lunchtime, so you may be eating a sandwich, and that can remind you of the fourth phrase, give us this day our daily bread. And that's the fourth phrase of the Lord's Prayer. And you can pray it at noon, give us this day our daily bread. Now, what is bread? Bread represents everything you need. It represents money. In fact, people often call bread, money, bread. You got any bread on you? It can represent anything you want or need. It's the stuff that fulfills you. It's the stuff that sustains you. And so bread's not just talking about bread. It's talking about anything you need in your life. And the Bible says that God says to you, I want you to pray this every day. Give us this day our monthly bread. No. Our weekly bread? No. Give us this day our daily bread. God, give me what I need for today. God isn't really interested in giving you what you need next year, because you wouldn't have to trust him. You wouldn't have to have any faith. You wouldn't have to depend on him. What do I do? Two things. Write these down. I ask for anything I need. John 14, Jesus said, you can ask for anything in my name. Circle that word, anything. You have not because you ask not. But at lunchtime, I don't only list all my needs. The next thing is I ask for what other people need too. You got a friend who needs something? You got a family member who needs something? Why don't you ask for it at lunch tomorrow? The Bible says in 1 Samuel, Samuel says, chapter 12, verse 23, I'd be sinning against the Lord if I failed to pray for you. Do you ever sin? Yeah, sometimes you sin because you don't pray for people you love. And you should be. Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against God by failing to pray for you. If I, as your pastor, didn't pray for you, I would be sinning. That's why I pray for you. I love you, but I also don't want to sin. Because I don't just ask for me, I ask for we, I ask for us. In fact, it doesn't say, give me my daily bread, it says, give what? Us. Means you're in a family. So when you're asking God, don't just ask for yourself. Ask for other people. Give us, not just give me. It's give us our daily bread. Look at this verse, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Jesus is the power of God by which he gives us, notice this, everything we need to live and to serve God. And we have these things because we know him. Look at this verse on the screen. It's a good verse. Write this, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. You know this verse. Do not get anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition. See that petition? That's what we're talking about in this one here. Petition is I'm asking God. I'm making my list. Don't get anxious about anything, but instead, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If you'll do this fourth kind of praying at lunchtime, your afternoon's gonna go a whole lot better. Now you come, you should go back to work, mid-afternoon. In the afternoon, I got some attitudes and some actions, and I've got some sins that have piled up by mid-afternoon. And so the fifth thing I do, write this down, I ask for forgiveness in the afternoon. In the afternoon, I just say, Lord, is there anything in my life I need to clean out? Is there any sin? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. God, is there something here that I need to just admit to you? I need to confess. I don't want to carry the garbage into the rest of the day. But now we come to the fifth statement in the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, verse 12. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Here's what I do. Write this down. I admit my sins and I forgive others who frustrated me. Psalm 32, verse 5, a great, great verse. I confess my sins to you, and I didn't try to hide them. Then you forgave me, and now all my guilt is gone. I remember driving down the street one day, and I saw a sign in a service station, gas station, and it was talking about a certain kind of oil, and it said, a clean engine has more power. That's true of people too. When you let sin stockpile in your life and you have stuff there that you haven't confessed to God, it just clogs up the system. You're not running on all your cylinders. A clean engine has more power. A clean soul has more resilience, and you need resilience in today's world. So you, in the afternoon time, that break where it's 3 o'clock or whatever it is in the afternoon, you just take a little time and say, let's do some house cleaning. God, is there any sin, any attitude, any action? I just need to admit, I'll admit it to you. Now, you're closing up your work and you're heading home. By the way, did you know, studies have shown this, 90% of all arguments in the world happen 1 hour before dinner. Three words, low blood sugar. And so now we come to the sixth prayer time, and that's when you get home and you just take a minute. The sixth thing you pray in this time of day, in the late afternoon, is you ask God to help me make wise decisions. Whether you've got kids at home or not anymore, or you're living with some friends, you need to ask God to help you make wise decisions, and by the way, to protect you from making dumb decisions too. And this is the sixth phrase of the Lord's Prayer. And it goes like this. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, I don't know about you. You're probably different. But I don't know about you. My worst temptations actually come in the evening. And they come from two very demonic sources. The television and the refrigerator. They're of the devil. You know, I can stay on a diet till at least 6 p.m. But between 6 p.m. and midnight, brother, when you're tired, your resources are low. You're gonna get in arguments. You're gonna say things. You're gonna hurt people unintentionally. And it's a good thing to pray before you go walk back in the home. Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Some of you, the television is a big temptation. And I'm talking about you're watching stuff you shouldn't be watching. Or maybe it's your computer, and you're watching some stuff on the computer you shouldn't be watching. Before you get home, Lord, lead me not into temptation. God has given us great promise. Look up here on the screen, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Remember that the temptations that come into your life are no different from what other people experience. Now, this is a good thing. It says we all go through the same common temptations. Okay? You think you're special? You're not when it comes to temptation. You have the exact same temptations everybody else does. You have the same temptations they've had for thousands of years, and Jesus had them in the same way. The same root temptation. Now, the good news is if they're common temptations, it means they're common solutions. And it says this, remember the temptations come into your life, they're no different from what others experience. We're all in the same boat. So don't act so higher and mighty and holy, holy. We all have the same temptations. And God is faithful. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. And when you're tempted, this is a great promise. You might memorize this. When you're tempted, he'll show you a way out so that you will not give into it. Anybody who says, I can't help myself, was lying. Because God's promised, I'll always make a way out. But you've got to choose it. You've got to choose it. But say, it was overpowering. I couldn't help myself. Yes, you could. God says, I always make a way out for you. Now, you need to understand two very important things about temptation. It's not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted. It's a sin to give in to temptation. In fact, a lot of people, when they get tempted, they go, ooh, I shouldn't even be tempted. Like, where did that thought come from? I'll tell you where it came from. It came from the evil one. It came from the devil. Martin Luther said, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. Finally, we come to the end of the day. Now you're getting ready for Betty Bye. You're putting on your PJs. And here's the last thing you pray. You prayed when you get up. Here's the last phrase in the Lord's Prayer. I end my day with an encouraging truth. And the Lord's Prayer ends with one of the most encouraging truths around. And it goes like this, Matthew 6:13. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, let me tell you what that means. If you'll think of that verse and you'll remember what it means, you can sleep a whole lot better. Because what that verse says is three incredibly encouraging truths. Number one, God is in control. God is in control. But when I pray, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, amen. Good night, Lord. I'm saying, God, number one, you're in control. Second, this is not the end of the story. And third, God and his family win in the end. I've read the last chapter of the book. God wins. God wins. And so that's when you're looking, if you go to bed and the last thing you watch is either news or late night TV talking about the news, you're gonna go to depressed. Corrie ten Boom said it, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. It all depends on who you're looking at. Now, I wanna encourage you to not just listen to this, but to actually try this format of using the Lord's Prayer to mark out 6-7 times during the day. I'm not talking about 20 minutes a day. The Lord's Prayer is not just a ritual that people pray. It is a pattern for living. It is a model for how to manage your day. And if you do this, you'll have more energy, you'll have more peace, you'll be closer to God, you'll have more power in your life, you'll have more confidence. If you'll do it, Jesus says, this is the way you ought to pray. Pray throughout your day. 150 years ago, a young Boston woman married a printer, and they got married and had three kids, but the Civil War ended their happiness because Mary's husband got conscripted in the Civil War in the Northern Army, and he died in the Battle of Antietam. And then after her husband died, her 12-year-old son drowned. And then her only daughter died. It was one calamity after another. And in her grief, Mary Ann Kidder began to turn to writing hymns. And if you've been in a traditional church, you've sung Mary Ann Kidder hymns because she wrote hundreds and hundreds of them. That would be very well known, helped millions of people. In fact, she wrote, I think, 181 hymns. And there's one that she wrote that I remember as a little kid hearing my parents sing, and it was called, Did You Think to Pray? And we'll end with this. When you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ our Savior, did you ask for loving favor as a shield today? When you met with great temptation, did you think to pray? By his dying love and merit, did you claim the Holy Spirit as your guide and stay? When your heart was filled with anger, did you think to pray? Did you plead for grace, my brother?